I've got big, huge, massive news. Okay, so did you miss out on registering for our spring summer program? It's not too late. We are opening up 1,000 spots starting today. Maybe you got into the program and you're realizing this is amazing. Everybody should be doing this. Or I know so many people who would love this. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. And if it's you, you're the one who didn't get signed up, run, don't walk over to our website, gwb.com. The first 1,000 people to sign up are in. Otherwise, you have to wait until our next program that doesn't start until the fall. Go. What are you waiting for?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're going to have this ability to now reframe.
Allow yourself time throughout the day to stress the fuck out.
The thoughts and the feelings and the behavior cycle can start changing.
What more can you do to lose weight? I mean, my goodness. Here we are having this conversation, week 10 of the program. You've been showing up for 10 weeks, doing all the things, super mindful, maximizing. But is there more that you can do? So that's the conversation today with Dr. Alenka Trejo. She's back with us again. And well, first of all, hi, hello.
Hi, hello. Good morning.
I was just reading over the notes for this conversation. And before I sat down, I was like, okay, like, what are we going to talk about here? I'm actually really excited. We're going to talk about maximizing your movement, maximizing your digestion, maximizing your sleep, and maximizing your journey. Just when you think that you're doing all of the things, there's actually more that you can do. And I don't want to say that in a way that stresses people out. Like, I don't want them to be like, oh, great, more stuff to add to my to-do list, because that's not what this conversation is about. I think it's going to be more getting the most out of the things that you are doing.
100%. That's our goal. Anyways, together. Okay. But then I get my soapbox, you know, and I start talking about like, but then, so we'll try to make it simple today. Give you some applicable things that you can take home today and start applying to maximize what you're already doing. That's the focus of our conversation today.
I love it. So let's get into it. So let's start with movement. And I'm glad that you picked this one because, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about the program as we have another group coming up and mm-hmm. in the spring. And I'm thinking, what are some of the things I really want to focus on a bit more? And one of them is movement and the importance, mm-hmm. especially with resistance training, after the conversations that we've had with you, especially when it comes to hormones and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about maximizing your movement. What do you mean by that?
So I think that the first thing that I want people to understand is that, like, I just need you to change your mindset about what exercise or movement means in your journey, right? The first question that you need to ask yourself is like, what gets me moving and what do I enjoy? Because I think that a lot of us, especially when you've been a yo-yo dieter, you have gone to Weight Watchers or you've done all of the programs that failed you. Exercise was almost a punishment rather yes. than a way of living or part of your healthy lifestyle or part of the piece. It was, and it's often the one piece that most of us struggle the most with, because to be honest, getting fit is hard because it's hard work, right? I always say I was blessed with very many things, but athleticism was not one of them. And so for me, finding something that I really liked was really hard. But the more you like it, especially when it's in combination with other people, right? Because I use this quote from Jonathan Haidt, I think his name is, but he always says we're 90% chimp and 10% bee. And that's actually why we really love moving with other people and we love doing things with other people. And so I think that when we change our mindset and look at movement, and not just exercise, but movement and what makes you or what gets you moving, you can focus also on like what your body can do versus what your body looks like, right? Because they're two different things.
Yes.
And I think that if you keep that mindset around movement positive and you say like, listen, I understand that I don't look like a Victoria's Secret model, but like I'm becoming more flexible, or like I used to hustle up those stairs and like, that's a little bit easier for me. That's enough often to keep you motivated and to keep you going, because the goal for movement, it's not, I mean, it is part of weight loss and body composition, but it's also for reducing your risk of chronic disease, right? As we age. And I always go back to that concept with you that there's a difference between your lifespan and how long you live for and your health span with the quality of the life as you age. And truly the quality of the life, the quality of your life as you age depends so much more on your cognitive abilities for sure, but also on how much muscle mass you carry in your body because of what you're able to do. I think the biggest challenge that I see with people is that when they think like, okay, I'm going to do exercise, because they go back often to that mentality that we're trying so hard to shift them out of with this program, is they're like, okay, I'm going to do 30 minutes of cardio 3 times a week, 2 sessions of resistance training, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this. And I think that part of the reason as to why that doesn't work is A, you're predisposing yourself to injury. And with movement, especially at the beginning, when you're trying to build it into your life, it's consistency versus intensity. I just need it in your life. And you don't even have to do a session of like 45 minutes. You can do, you know, 5 different sessions of 7 minutes, if that's what works in your time. But it's those short bouts and like the consistency through your day that builds that habit, so that your brain takes it as like, oh, this is just what we do every morning. Because even in physics, we say, you know, it's a ball that's stationary is so much harder to get moving than a ball that's already in motion.
Yeah, I love this. I have a 10-minute rule where, because people do this, right? Like, well, first of all, I find, well, there's a couple of things I want to talk about here. One is, yes, our association to exercise. And a lot of us, because we are having this conversation in a weight loss program, have used exercise to try to get skinny, used exercise to try to lose weight, not exercise to try to make themselves strong, to, you know, to maintain bone density, to maintain muscle mass, for mobility, for movement, none of those things. We've been using exercise to make us skinny, lose weight, or punish ourselves for the things that we ate. So there's one thing. So it really has to change we really have to change our mindset around this, which I think as soon as you start seeing it as something that you can do rather than you have to do, you know, it's a game changer. The other thing is, I was just reminded how, and I do this as well. When I was a personal trainer and I would train, you know, men who were older, and they can barely like walk, touch their toes. They have big bellies. And they're like, well, when I was a football player, I used to pump and lift whatever. So those are the exercises I got to do. I don't know why I'm talking like that. But
I could bench press like, you when I was,
Yeah, I'm like, but you're not a football player anymore. Like you can't go back. That is not going to work for you. And I think I used to be a personal trainer. I actually was, you know, I was a professional boxer. I was, you know, an aerobic instructor, but I can't go back to, I associate, well, when I exercise, I have to go back to doing those types of things, but no, that is not what honey, you just need to get your ass on your little walking pad for 10 minutes a day. How about we start with that? How about rather than signing up for 20 yoga classes a week, you start with trying to touch your toes and do some stretches after you get off your walking pad. Oh, so I think we have this need to go back to, well, when we were fit and this is what worked for us before. And oh my God, it's just, it's torture.
100%. And we're not saying that you may not get there if you want to, but it's just don't start there. I literally had this conversation with somebody who was like a competitive cyclist, a gentleman who was a competitive cyclist yesterday. And he was like, honestly, but if I go on my bike, I just go balls to the wall. And I'm like, then don't get on your bike and get on a treadmill instead, because your brain is going to be like, I'm a 20-year-old super fit man and you are a 51-year-old not them, man. And so and then the problem is that then your brain, instead of being like, those endorphins were amazing, your brain is going to be like, I almost died. Yeah. And not want to do it. Right. And so this is actually why I always talk about the consistency, especially for the habit, right? For building the habit, because there's a concept you and I have brought up before too. Your brain is inherently lazy and it will always choose the path of least resistance, unless there's a little bit of dopamine that it's going to get from it. Right. And then unless at the end of it, it's like, ooh, that felt good. And so the easiest thing for your brain to feel like, I'm going to store these calories as fat, because fat, especially if you're in that stress mode, right, where we're in like constantly on that fight or flight, your brain is going to try to sabotage you at every corner to try and get you to not move. When you build a consistency, even if it is 10 minutes a day, now you've built it into a habit. Your brain doesn't fall back into like, let's go back to the couch. It just goes into like, okay, and now we move for 10 minutes, just because you've learned it or built it into your routine. The other thing with exercise that I actually find really interesting, especially, you know, right around here where people start feeling like, okay, I'm doing all the things, I've been exercising, I'm doing my steps, I'm doing all of these things, and these things don't work anymore. And the thing is that it goes back to, again, the simple survival mechanism of your body eventually will adapt to whatever it is that you're doing, because it doesn't want to die, right? It doesn't mean that the steps that you're doing and the two yoga classes you were doing and, you know, the walks that you take with your girlfriend are not working. They are continuing to work for your cardiometabolic health and decreasing your risk of disease. But maybe you're not necessarily seeing that anymore as a body composition change. So how do you maximize that, right? How do you, because I don't, you, this doesn't mean that you're going to get to the point where you have to exercise 24 hours a day in order to achieve your goals. That's not the conversation we're having.
Yes.
It's the, if you know that you really love something, especially if it's something that that gives you that accountability because it's with somebody else or gets you outside, which is really great for your mood. One of the simplest things, and I know I sound like a spokesperson for these things, but one of the simplest things that you can actually add to your walks or to your hikes or to whatever it is actually a weighted vest. And there's way cooler ones right now. I mean, the one that if you are in Hamilton and you ever see me walking around, I for sure look like I'm going to war. I have like my little weighted rods make me look like I'm going to throw a grenade at you at any point. And my husband like refuses to walk with me with it. But it's, and now there's like really nice ones, you know, that you can get, but that the, we call it rucking, but adding that weighted vest, interestingly, is now combining, right, what you are already doing, maximizing it because it's adding that resistance training. And especially for women who are postmenopausal or premenopausal that have a history of osteoporosis in their family or have a lot of risk factors on their own for osteoporosis, it's one of the most amazing things they can do because it's one of the only things that has been shown to strengthen the bones around your pelvis that are actually the most likely to fracture when you have osteoporosis. And I don't know if you know this, but the minute that you break a hip when you are osteoporotic, we give you like 5 years of life because the mortality rate, if you get surgery, because if you don't, the mortality risk, I think is 70%. But if you make it out of the hospital, it's about 5 years that you have.
Oh, okay. What about, someone was asking about, what about ankle weights or, you know, wrist weights when you're walking?
Yeah. So those are also amazing. Sometimes they're a little bit hard for people that that have arthritis of sorts because they are really small joints that, you know, if you're adding 5 or 10 pounds, sometimes they can get really sore. And then I don't want that to prevent you from obviously, you know, then doing your yoga class or whatever it is that you were doing before.
Yeah.
So that's actually why I like the core weight a little bit more. And the reason why I like it even further is because it's balanced at the front and balanced at the back. It strains your back a little bit less than just doing like a weighted backpack, right? Because most of us, when you're just doing the backpack, you'll strain your back because naturally we'll do this as we're carrying the weight. Whereas with this one, you have to really engage your core. But if the only thing you have access to is ankle and wrist weights, start there.
Okay. So this is where I just want to kind of recap what you said here because, and bring it back to our members. So you know how, especially before you started the program, right? It's not that you don't want to exercise. It's not that you don't understand its benefits. It's not that you're lazy. It's just like Dr. Linka says, your body is kind of wired in a way, especially when it's feeling a need to store fat, to make things easy for you and to keep you on reserve mode. So yeah. Although mentally you want to do it, mentally you know you need to do it, you understand the benefits, it's like that difference between actually doing it. It's like your body is keeping you in that reserve mode. And what I like about where we're at in the program is as you've been giving the body what it needs, so it no longer feels the need to store fat, that's why so many of you are starting to feel like, oh, a little bit jiggity, like, oh, I feel like doing something. I feel like going out and moving my body. And especially with the time of year, that's also really happening. Body pulling you out of that winter hibernation mode, you have that spring in your step. Herein lies the problem then, that the minute we start thinking about doing some movement, we put all this pressure on ourselves to do the, I'm going to work out every day for an hour, or I'm going to ride my bike 59,000 miles or whatever, right? And that's where I like the start with 10 minutes. If after 10 minutes, you don't want to keep going, you can quit. And then, you know, the next day, all I got to do is 10 minutes. But 9 times out of 10, if you just start some form of exercise or movement after 10 minutes, you're going to be like, okay, this is good. And keep doing it. The other thing is like the habit you're talking about. And that's the great way to start the habit, right? Like if you're going to get up every morning and start exercise, just focus on getting up, have a tea, get dressed, you know, go walk around the block. Next day you might walk 2 blocks. Next day you might walk 3 blocks, but don't put that pressure on yourself. The other thing, and lastly, I want to talk about is we're constantly trying to put movement into our life rather than making it part of our lives. And more and more and more, you're going to hear about the detriment of being sedentary, sitting at our desks all day, not doing anything. Like it's, you know, even when you do put 10 minutes, half an hour, it's really still not enough. It's not enough. What is more beneficial is moving your body more often. So you really have to think about, rather than this movement fitting into your life, you have to prioritize movement and fit in the work and the other things that you need to do almost around that if you truly want to live a long, healthy life. Because, man, if you can't touch your toes when you're 40, when you're 50, you know, if you're kind of hobbling around, it's only going to get worse unless you do something about it. Lastly, I want to talk about the routine. The routine. So when you, like you said, when people are doing their exercises and it feels like it's no longer working for them anymore, as much as your body loves routine, this is where, when it comes to exercise, your body adapts to the routine, which is great. Mm-hmm. It means that you're creating a habit. It means like it's incorporating it into your lifestyle. And it also means you could probably challenge your body a bit more. So use the weights, use the vest, you know, switch up your routine a little bit.
You increase the incline, you increase the speed, you know, go for an extra, I don't know, 2000 steps. Like it's not, and it doesn't have to be massive. Like you don't have to become a boxer in order to do that.
Yes.
But I do think that it's important then for people to understand that different exercises also bring different things into your life, right? And so I want to go back to the point that you made, and I would love to make exercise part of your life. And Dr. Huberman talks about this a lot because we now call like a sedentary lifestyle the new smoking. Because of the impact that it can actually have on your cardiovascular and cardiometabolic health. And I don't remember the quote perfectly, but I think it's something like, if you sit for longer than 4 hours a day, you almost negate completely the movement that you've done in the day, unless you actually add a little bit of movement in those 4 hours. And so to your point, like, it's great that you go and you do an exercise in the morning for half an hour or a walk or whatever, but if for the rest of the day, you're just sitting at a desk, like it might not actually be that much more beneficial. And it will, because it, you know, it made you feel great and it had a number of benefits, but from a cardiovascular standpoint, from a health standpoint, it might actually be better to do the 10 minutes 3 times a day during your day than it would be to just do it in that really big like chunk of time if your life is just sedentary and you don't have movement in your day.
Yeah, one of the comments here is like, the best exercise is the one that I do. I mean, absolutely.
100%. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, we don't want to overcomplicate things here. So that's where, you know, if you've been exercising for a while and feel like you're not getting much out of it, try switching it up slightly. Challenge the body a little bit more, right? If you can't find time in your day to fit in a half hour workout, there's a huge benefit in doing like 10 little 10-minute bits of movement throughout the day. You know, that's like, you have to figure out what works for you. You have to figure out what you're going to actually do. So really, you know, taking a look at your mindset, how do you even think of exercise? If you have a hard time thinking of exercise because you have association with it, think of it as movement, mm-hmm. right? And if you're not motivated to move to help you lose weight, maybe you're motivated to help you lose so that you don't break a hip when you're older, or, you know, even hormones. I love the conversation we've been having about hormones. Everyone wants to know about what to do with the hormones. Hormones are making me fat. They're causing my body to store belly fat. But one of the most important things that you can do, especially if you've spent any time dieting, because there's a big difference between weight loss and fat loss, right? Mm-hmm. Weight loss, you know, you're starving, you're depriving, you're restricting, and you are losing weight. Yes, but it's water weight, it's fat, yes, and also a considerable amount of muscle. Mm-hmm. And so maintaining your muscle mass is so important, especially as you get older, when it comes to your hormones. Can we just talk about the benefit of that real quick? I know we could probably talk on it for an hour, but
I know, 100%. Yeah. So it, as you age, you in your 30s, you're going to achieve your peak muscle mass, right? We know that. And then after that, really, unless you're doing something about it, you're going to lose about 0.2 to about like 1% of your muscle mass every year, unless you're doing something about it. A lot of the times, obviously through fad diets, your body, the first thing that it lets go of is protein, especially because a lot of the fad diets that we follow historically have been really, really low in protein. And because they've told you, you must do a lot of cardio, what happens when your body's in that stress mode, right? Because your cortisol is really, really high because you're like, you're starving me. And then you are over-exercising, which then makes your body go into, you're starving me and now we're running away from a bear. Like, what the fuck is happening to me right now? What it will do is that it will try to store as much fat as it can as a survival mechanism so that then it can tap into those fat stores when everything else is gone. And it's almost like this will keep me safe. And you can look at a muffin and you're going to gain weight because your body just looks at this like, you will help me when the bear is really close about to eat me, right?
Yeah.
And so through that time, what will happen is that you will become skinny fat. That is the easiest way to think about it. You will give up all of your muscle mass. You will get smaller, but not smaller in the right way. And then what happens is that you get into the cycle of yo-yoing. Because you're aging, you're still continuing to lose muscle mass, right? For women, this is particularly hard because around like in the year, probably 4 to 6 years that straddle that last menstrual period, estrogen will kind of have an indirect impact in your muscle mass and also a direct one through other hormones, mainly your growth hormone, where that slow decline in muscle mass will become really quick, like really, really, really quick. So now you have the fact that you're aging, and also you have the fact that your estrogen is like all over the place, and now you're losing muscle mass as a result of that. In that, if you put on top of that, that is usually one of the most stressful periods in any woman's lives because, you know, we're in that stress sandwich. Your cortisol is even higher. You've been yo-yo dieting all your life. Like all of these things, you know, are combining. And what's going to happen is that you're losing again with that estrogen. Not just the muscle mass, but you're losing the direction of where your fat should go. Because we know that estrogen guides fat to anti-inflammatory areas, which are going to be your breast, your glutes, your hips. And now you're losing that estrogen. And now without the direction, your fat is going to go to your abdomen and get around your organs, which is actually what we call the visceral fat. And fat is an endocrine organ, right? It produces things. And visceral fat is especially bad because visceral fat promotes a lot of inflammatory cytokines. And these inflammatory cytokines just perseverate the cycle that you're in that then increase your risk for cardiovascular disease and stroke and high blood pressure and things like that. And so then the challenge is that, you know, I see this a lot in my practice where like we panic in perimenopause and then we're like, oh shit, okay, well, what happened? What worked before? Weight Watchers worked before, right? Or like, no, the ideal protein diet worked before. No, Bernstein. I'm just going to do Bernstein because it's just like, need to get these pounds off.
And then you start doing step classes again.
No, I'm going to do spin classes like 18 times a day. And so that just, again, like feeds that cortisol pathway that then chews up your muscle mass, that builds more of that fat. And so it's so hard to get out of that. And so I The tricky thing is that your metabolism is almost 100% dependent on how much muscle mass you have in your body. Mm. That is a fact. And so if you don't have that movement piece in your life that's actually helping you maintain that muscle mass, the weight that you're seeing on the scale is also going to stall, because eventually your body is like, girl, like this is just my metabolism. Like I can't really go anywhere else with this. Yeah. And if you then on the Gene and Livy program or elsewhere decide like, oh, it's not moving, I'm going to take away that one snack. Or like, maybe I'm just going to reduce the fat. Or like maybe if that is the worst thing.
Take away. Just makes it the whole thing worse.
100%. Because now what happens is now your body goes into like, it's happening again. She's starving me. Let's store all the fat, give up the muscle. And then you end up in the exact same vicious cycle that didn't work, that led you here. And now we're like breaking it. So that's actually where the movement is so important, because it's the only way that we can actually build muscle mass, or at least maintain the muscle mass that we have, to be able to maximize our metabolism and continue eating exactly what we're eating and the beautiful things that we're eating, and continue losing that fat mass, right? And this is the other thing that I want to touch on, because I think that the scale, and I love that you put so much emphasis on this, but the scale is only a tool, guys. And I really can't stress that enough, because your scale, when you get to almost that point where you're like, I feel like I'm stuck and I don't really know what I'm doing wrong, I would love for you to also consider doing like waist and hip measurements or other things that will allow you to understand that not because your scale isn't moving the way that you think should be moving, there aren't other changes that are happening in your body, like losing that visceral fat mass that your program is so good at, right? Because people don't see that. They're like, but it's the number on the scale, because that's what Weight Watchers told them, or the whatever other diet they told them. It is just part of your journey. And so just to move that number on the scale, it is not worth it to give up your muscle mass.
Yeah. I mean, this is why, you know, typically they would say, you know, even without changing anything you eat, you gain weight year over year over year. And this is why doctors will be like, well, that's just the way that it is. I mean, yeah, you can just settle for that and understand that as you lose muscle mass and you just continue to eat how you're eating, chances are if you don't have the muscle as a place for your body to, your insulin to tell to store some in your muscle, and you don't have the muscle for that, it's got no choice then but to store more in your fat. And if you want to be like, okay, that's just how it is, great. But you actually have control over this by not just maintaining your muscle mass, but also increasing your muscle mass. So if you don't want to keep putting on weight year over year over year, which can typically happen, you know, there's a lot that you can do about that. And especially when it comes to, you know, resistance training weights, it has to be a weight bearing exercise. Like you can do a lot with resistance training, like doing a push-up or using your own body's resistance, especially if you're new to adding resistance. But if you've been doing a resistance training workout and you're not really seeing your muscles aren't feeling a little bit taxed, or you're not really seeing your body change much, that's where you might not want to step it up, get yourself some heavier hand weights, get yourself a walking vest. You know, it's not like you have to all of a sudden become a bodybuilder. Yeah. It's not about becoming a bodybuilder. It's just about, you know, it's about just, you know, it's about maintaining or trying to increase a little bit more your muscle mass.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, let's move on to digestion.
Great.
No, wait, stop. I do want to talk about cardio real quick because everyone's talking about exercise, right? Who knew we were going to talk about exercise so much? Yeah. So many people are afraid to do cardio and are not doing cardio because their doctor's like, well, or whoever is like, well, it's going to, you have, your stress levels are too high already. And, you know, you don't want to make it worse. What they're talking about is the old 80s, 90s style aerobics classes. Yeah. When they say be mindful of cardio, what they mean is don't trash your body by doing 90 minutes of cardio where you can't breathe and feel like you're going to puke at the end. What they're not talking about is maybe getting your heart rate up for 30 seconds, a minute here or there while you're walking uphill during your walk or while you're on your treadmill, taxing your heart rate, or maybe doing a 45 minute low impact class. What they're talking about when they're telling you not to do cardio because it makes your cortisol levels worse, they're talking about pounding the crap out of your body and, you know, where you're huffing and puffing and dying. So there's nothing wrong with getting your heart rate up. In fact, it's great for your heart. There's nothing wrong with the endurance training, these long walks that you're doing. So do you have anything to add to that? Because I hear that all the time. Well, my doctor told me not to do cardio. I'm like, what? It makes no sense.
I know. Okay. So listen, cardio undoubtedly has a greater benefit for your cardiorespiratory fitness than resistance does. Nobody is going to argue that.
Yeah.
The thing is that we usually for your cortisol to get triggered and elevated, we're talking about like longer bouts of cardio, right? We're talking about like over 40 minutes or so. And there's the best way that you can actually start cardio is by getting like an Apple Watch or like something that actually monitors your heart rate. And rather than just doing it because you're like, this is what I think I'm supposed to be doing and like how I'm feeling, monitor your heart rate, figure out what your maximum heart rate is, which is a simple calculation of 220 minus your age. And your target should be to be anywhere between that like 70 to maximum 80% of your heart rate for some period of time. At the beginning, that might feel uncomfortable and that might be only 1 minute and then we bring it back down and then we go up 1 minute by doing things like incline or like, you know, a little bit of more of a hustle during your walk or whatever it is. But actually those short bouts that you're talking about, which is called the high intensity interval training or the HIIT training, that you can do while walking, like you don't have to be doing a super intense routine, actually have a greater impact on your metabolism after you stop doing the exercise. It's something that's called EPOC, where literally after the exercise, you're sitting on your chair and you're just burning way more calories without even doing anything.
Yeah.
And so it's a really nice way to introduce cardio. The thing about cardio and resistance is that they go really nicely together, right?
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be like the consistency versus the intensity. The ideal would be that you have a little bit of yoga for flexibility and mindfulness and all of that in your life, a little bit of cardio to keep your muscle, literally your heart muscle, healthy and your lungs really, really healthy. And then some resistance training for that muscle mass. But if you were only to do cardio, we actually know from a meta-analysis that looked at, I think it was 11 studies in almost 400,000 people, cardio will reduce your all-risk mortality by about 21%. When you combine it with resistance training, that goes to 40%.
Wow. Okay. I love that.
Which is amazing. And so what we're trying to say to you too, is that like, you know, start somewhere. And then once you are there and you're like, oh, okay, I think that I can do a little bit more, then we maximize that. And then we slowly maximize that, right? Like we just constantly change because we're changing beings and you're going to get fitter.
And don't wait until you buy a watch to start going out for a walk, right? So what you
can do with that.
Yeah, what you can do with that is, I mean, that's great. And to invest in your health, especially if you are concerned and you've gone to a doctor and cortisol are an issue. But what you want to do is walk and then to where you can still talk, but it's a little bit labored, right? Where you can, like, if you're walking with a friend, can you have a conversation with them? You might be like, whew, okay, this is a bit of a workout. And then if you want for a few, like 30 seconds, 1 minute, get up to a point where you're like, it's hard to talk. That's where you know you're kind of starting to tax your heart rate a little bit, you know. But what you don't need to do is go on a 90-minute run and start running 10K, 20K, any of that, right? So so don't wait till you go buy your fancy watch. You know when your heart rate's getting up. You can tell.
That's fair. That's fair, you guys. Yeah, 100%. Start, and then if you think that you want one, then buy one after that.
I don't want anyone saying, well, I'm waiting until my watch gets delivered from
so
Amazon.
So I can start moving, 100%. You know, what I always tell patients is you should be able to talk but not sing.
Like, yes, we're not talk but not sing. Oh, I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into it. So maximizing your movement. I love this conversation. It's very timely with where we're at in the program. It's very timely with spring. So I love this. Okay. Maximizing your digestion. So at this point in the program, people are starting to know, because I see the things you want to talk about. If you feel like you're always bloated, food sensitivities, why rotation is key, different types of enzymes and probiotics, because at this point in the program, people are so self-aware. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are journaling. They're obviously tracking the components that they're having. They're journaling how they're feeling. And, you know, before when someone starts the program, they probably just felt like shit all the time, that they couldn't tell what was making them feel good and what was making them not feel good. Following the program 10 weeks in, you probably get a sense of feeling really good. You know when you feel good. And so then when you start having foods that you're starting to notice, oh, every time I eat this, I don't feel so great. So I love that people are in tune to their choices and how they are feeling. You know, some people are taking the probiotics, prebiotics, some people digestive bitters, some people are just trying to, but how would someone know 10 weeks in things just aren't where they should be or where they could be? So how would someone assess if their digestion needs maximizing?
That's a great question. I mean, bloating is a symptom that I hear all the time, you know, and I think that there is a very common concern for people that they just feel like I eat anything and I feel bloated, or I feel great otherwise, but I get really, really bloated. And it's normal to produce up to 3 liters of gas every day, which is like 1.5 liters, like it's a lot of gas, right, in a day. And so I just want to get that right away, because I think that people assume that bloating is a bad thing, and bloating can actually be that you are feeding your gut health, like your gut flora, and your flora are loving it and they're producing a little bit of gas, because flora are meant to ferment things, and fermentation causes bubbles.
Yes,
and it doesn't mean that it's pathological.
Thank you. That is real. That's probably the most important thing people are going to take away all day, because you are bombarded on the internet and on social media by take this pill, take this powder, got that gas, got that bloat. There are certain foods that if you eat them are going to make you feel gassy. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have a sensitivity to them. Maybe it could mean that you, in some cases, your digestive system could use some attention.
For sure.
You know, but we are bombarded by this like fear mongering of, you know, just because you fart more than once a day, all of a sudden you have like bugs in your guts. I mean, we all have bugs in our guts, but you know what I mean? You got a parasite and candida, and you got this and you got that. So what's normal? Yeah. What's not then?
Yeah. So the other point that I will make with that, being married to an infectious diseases doctor, I can tell you that a lot of the things that you see online where it's like, you must do this candida cleanse. Candida doesn't really live in your large intestine, right? Like if somebody goes in with a bowel perforation at a trauma center, they don't actually give them anti-candida things because they're not worried about candida taking over. Candida really only lives in like your stomach and up. And so part of the reason as to why I think it's so important is that the internet is an amazing thing, but it's also a very scary thing when it comes to medicine, because you can find whatever it is that you want. And so people see the like, okay, but I'm doing the Levy program, I'm feeling great, but I have like digestion, or maybe my bowel movements are not as perfect as it should be, or whatever. And they're like, I must have parasites. And they say, yes, you for sure have parasites, because we all have them. Whether or not they are working against you is a completely different thing. And you thinking that you have something, or like, you know, the bloating, and you think like, bloating means parasites, I'm going to do a parasite cleanse. Sometimes what happens is that you take a cleanse from the health food store without proper guidance from a doctor that has told you like, yep, you have this because we've done these tests. And all of the work that you've done with the Libby program, with healing your gut and feeding your flora, you can erase in an instant, because natural antimicrobials like oregano or, you know, a lot of the things that you will buy in these products, they're broad spectrum antibiotics, which means that they go in and they kill everything in their path. They're not like, are you a good guy? Okay, yeah, move out of the way, because I'm just here for the bad guys. Like, they just kill everything in their path, right? And so then what happens is that even if you feel momentarily better, because maybe you're not producing as much gas, because you killed a bunch of your, like a bunch of bacteria. And then for like 2-3 weeks, maybe there's just not as many bacteria to like feed off of all of the beautiful things that you're feeding yourself through the Libby program. At the end of those 3 weeks, there was a hole in that, you know, like there's a lot of homes that got broken down, and there's a lot of homes that are going to get rebuilt in those 3 weeks. And some of those homes that get rebuilt are like bad guys that come in. And so then you end up with worse symptoms than you started with had you not actually done that cleanse in the box that you did.
So many people, I hear that, well, I think I'm going to do a cleanse. I'm like, And then people think, well, I'm doing all this stuff to be healthy, so if I do more things to be healthy, that's actually going to help me.
Yeah. It doesn't often. And it doesn't mean that it can't. I do think that there is a time and a place for them. And with medical supervision, I think it's really, really great. But I would say that if there is something that you feel like needs to be maximized with your digestion, and it hasn't been addressed by you changing your diet, we probably need to look into it a little bit further, right? So for example, with bloating, when there's an excess of bloating, we look at things like there's a very famous diet that's called the low FODMAP diet. That's actually it's almost like an elimination diet, right? For people with IBS, where we take out certain carbohydrates for a short period of time. It's an elimination diet, but it's not forever. But to try and identify like, okay, if I take out these carbohydrates that usually cause a lot of fermentation for some people, maybe not for everybody, but for some people, do you feel less bloated? Yes. Great. And then as we introduce them, then we can figure out like, oh, you know what? It's the garlic, or it's actually the garlic when I pair it with the onion, when I pair it with the asparagus. And then you understand that there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that, you know, you probably shouldn't put those three together. So I think that that's where like the journaling comes in, and it's really, really beautiful. But the other thing that I want to talk about too, that I often see, is that when you have something that's working, often you're really afraid to change it, right? And you get stuck with the like, okay, my breakfast that I know works for me is like 2 eggs and half an avocado. And the fruit that I know that works for me is like the banana. And then this is the lunch that works for me. And I think that is great. But the thing is that all of the beautiful things that we introduce with this diet are rich and high in so many different things, right? And so when you get stuck eating the same 10 things, you're missing out on the other 300 that we're trying to get you to eat. Yep. And so this is actually where rotation is so important, right? Because almonds are great, but so are walnuts, and so are pecans, and so are cashews, and so are seeds. And so I would love for you to rotate stuff, because that's also what leads to food sensitivities, right? Because your body is not meant to see the exact same thing every single day for 10 years in a row. It's just not.
Yeah.
And so by rotation, you're not only expanding your nutrition profile, but you're also decreasing the likelihood that you're going to react to these things. And so when you're journaling and you're realizing like, oh man, I think I am sensitive to gluten, or I am sensitive to dairy, I am sensitive to this, I think that it's great that you tried to take them out. But then there should be a point in your life where you're like, you know, I gave my body enough of a break. What if I reintroduce it in small amounts and see how I feel? Because sometimes that's all your body needs, right? It just needs a little bit of a break. And gluten isn't inherently bad for everybody. Dairy is not inherently bad for everybody. The only way to figure out if it's bad for you is for you to take it out and reintroduce it and see how you feel.
Right. I want to talk about the routine, because there is something to be said about the body loving routine. And this is why we're constantly with the food plan. It addresses the body's needs. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with if you like to have eggs for breakfast or whatever. It's not like you have to go and constantly switch things up. This is also the benefit of the food plan in the small little changes that we are making, is for you to really, really understand what works well for you, what doesn't, how certain foods break down and process in your body. So it's not that you can't have your fruit for a snack every morning. It's just that, you know, rather than just going with whatever apples you keep buying, you know, you could, and it's not like you also want to just constantly switch up the rainbow. I think with the program, you can go deeper than that. Like, for example, yeah. If you have the luxury of having more than one fruit in your house. So right now I can go upstairs and open my fridge and I know that I will probably have raspberries, blueberries. I saw there's bananas on my counter today and maybe one old orange from last week. So what I'm going to do is be like, what do I feel like? So I'm going to have some fruit for a snack. Do I want the berries? Do I want the orange or the banana? Strangely enough, even as I'm saying it, that old orange is appealing to me right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is where you want to like actually get in tune with what your body works for your body rather than being robotic. And now sometimes obviously we want to buy our groceries on what's seasonal and, you know, what's affordable and those types of things. But when it comes to maximizing, this is where you can be even maximizing your food choices by not being super routine about it, but by taking to the next level and being even more in tune about it.
Totally. But I think that the key there that you said, which is at maybe what I didn't get across as effectively, is that there's a difference between routine and robotic.
Yeah.
Right. Like you, the three meals a day, the two snacks and the fruit and the vegetable, the nut, it is magic and it works. But it is also the, like, if you're like, you know what, I have tried all of the breakfasts and like eggs are the only thing that works for me. Amazing. Have your eggs, but like, you know, one day try with a little bit of spinach and the other add like maybe like a quarter avocado, see if you like it and see how you feel. Yeah. Or like a little bit of tomato or a little bit of this or a little bit of that. Like I do think that there is a point to the routine, but it's just that instead of taking away things, it's like, how can you add things while still keeping that routine? And how can you switch things up while still keeping that routine? If that's where you feel like you're at, and it's not like every day you have to eat something different. It's just that if you've eaten the exact same thing for 4 months, like we probably have to be like, we need to tweak things, you know, which is exactly what you're leading into, I guess, when you're personalizing the program as well.
Yeah, we're going to be heading, in that direction. I know that we had maximizing your sleep, still talk about maximizing your journey, but for the sake of time, because we'll remind people that we had that great sleep week. I definitely will go back. Sleep is so important. I mean, we could talk forever on sleep, but I want to finish up talking about bowel movements when it comes to maximizing specifically. You know, obviously people are following the program. They're making good, healthy choices. What is there, is there a way to maximize your bowel movements? Is there, because when people are doing the program, I find they can have bouts of constipation, which is normal. It changes in their diet can affect that, stress levels, all sorts of things. And then loose bowel movements, obviously normal in a sense that when the scale is moving and your body is releasing fat, it can be quite normal to have bouts of diarrhea, although it shouldn't make you feel exhausted and tired. And obviously, you know, we need to be mindful in those situations. But what would we look for when it comes to bowel movements? Are we trying to maximize those? Like, it seems really important. Food goes in.
Yeah. It should come out.
Food goes out.
Yeah. 100%. I do hear a lot of people panicking when they're like, but then I got constipated and then I got diarrhea. And I'm like, it is all part of the process and it is all part of your body learning what works for it, what doesn't, for sure. Honestly, it is. And so I don't want you to get freaked out about it. I do think that the basics of, did I drink enough water, is a very, you know, even in my patients where they're doing the your program, they'll come in and I'm like, I got constipated. And I'm like, let's talk about your water. And they're like, oh yeah. Yeah. I probably went back to like only drinking 6 cups of water. And I'm like, right. And you now are used to eating 40 to 50 grams of fiber because of all of the changes that you've made to your diet. Mm-hmm. And so fiber without water equals constipation, right? So sometimes it's like very simple things. Sometimes it's things like especially if you're coming into this program from a standard American diet that maybe did not have as much fiber or maybe was not as rich in prebiotics or probiotics or what have you, there is a little bit of a transition time that happens.
Yeah.
And we see that even with plant-based diets, like we see that. And so I do think that you having a little bit of compassion for your body with where it's at and be like, okay, things are happening and like changes happening and that being okay without you panicking is also great. Bowel movements are so interesting because I want to just plug the fact that women and men are different and we're created different. And this is a very researched thing. Women often have an extra loop in their bowel, which actually makes their transit time a little bit longer, right? Because it will make things move through a piece of the puzzle longer than men. In medicine, believe it or not, constipation is defined as having less than one bowel movement in a week, which is wild. And so, and so for us, ideally, we try to get you to, you know, one bowel movement a week or even one every other bowel movement a week, because sometimes for some people, that is their normal. The thing about bowel movements is that we try to get you to a bowel movement that is in the Bristol stool chart, which is, you can look it up, but it's like how we rate bowel movements. We want bowel movements that are ideally soft, but formed in like a little sausage-like piece. We also want bowel movements where you're not straining and they're not super urgent. And also that when you go to the bathroom, you have the sensation of complete emptying. That's a good bowel movement, right? When you get a lot of the diarrhea, you continue to have a lot of the diarrhea. One of the things that I always talk about too is like, okay, how much natural calm are you guys having? Because magnesium, as you know, sometimes can be an osmotic, which adds a little bit too much water. And so sometimes we just adjust that dose and it's, you know, enough for that period where you're at in the program. Sometimes it is not. If you are constipated often and you're like, okay, I'm hitting my water, I'm hitting my movement, because movement is also very important, yes, right? For your bowels, because your bowels, yep, are a muscle and they contract, yep, when your legs also move. And so I'm hitting my movement. I am eating all of my, my snacks. I'm eating to satisfaction. We can actually, with the journaling that you're doing, you can actually see like, okay, is it that I ate maybe something like too much dairy, or could it be gluten? Or maybe like, was this the day that like, I forgot to pack my extra vegetables, or what it is, right? Because bowel movements also get impacted, not just by what you ate that day, but probably for the last like 2 to 3 days.
Yeah. I was just going to say like this, because people used to be like, well, I'm eating healthy and I should have that S-shaped Dr. Oz Oprah poop. And I'm like, yeah, but not while you're focused on making change in your body, no, not while we are changing what you are doing, because people notice a change when they first start the program. And then we just keep changing things in the program. So if you're changing what you're eating slightly, you should be noticing changes happening in your bowel movements as well, being reflected in that. And yes, if you have loose bowel movements, check, obviously, make sure you're not overdoing the calm, but also if the scale is moving at the same time, that could be why, right?
Oh, so, 100%. Yeah.
So that, of course, that whole healthy bowel movement, you know, we see that a lot in people when they've lost their weight and they're working on maintaining their weight, mm-hmm, right? So it's good to know what we're striving for, but also, you know, I think don't stress yourself out by seeing that perfect bowel, yeah, movement now while you're making all these changes.
But I will say, honestly, the easiest thing is, I mean, I would rather you have loose bowel movements than constipation, for sure.
Yeah.
Because nobody likes hemorrhoids. But if you are at that point where you're like, you know what, I'm like struggling and it's really, really hard. Actually, one of the quickest fix, which I know it's like not, it's not long-term, and you are drinking your water and you are moving and you are eating all the things that you're supposed to be eating, and it is just that adjustment period, you can also increase that magnesium calm ever so slightly. And that should help soften the stool so that it's not as hard to pass.
Yeah.
And then the next week, pardon?
Or split it up during the day.
Oh yeah. That's another one that you can do for sure, if you don't like it all at once. And then the next week that you're like, oh, now I'm releasing fat, and you see that change in your movements, you can just bring it back, because it's not, it's just a band-aid solution so that you don't end up with a hemorrhoid, while fully understanding this is just part of it, right? Because your body is just getting adjusted to this beautiful new life that you're creating for yourself. And your digestive system from top to bottom is about 9 meters long. There's a lot of things that happen in there, and a lot of things get impacted by it. And also not sleeping, stress, all of the things that are way beyond and above what you're drinking and what you're eating and how much you're moving, have an impact on your bowels, right? So this is actually where the journaling can become so important, so that you can reflect back on it and be like, oh, okay, yeah. When I look at the entire picture, I understand why my bowels were only a part of it. And, you know, in Chinese medicine, this is the only thing that I will say. In Chinese medicine, we look at the body in a very different way. And your intestines have to do with this emotion of like letting go. And yeah. So sometimes as your body is letting go of fat, letting go of emotions, because you're doing all the emotional work, letting go of your bad habits, letting go of all of the things that you are here to let go of so that you can vibe and thrive, you will see changes in your bowel movements. And that is completely normal. Ooh. And it is absolutely nothing to worry about.
I love it. And I love you. And I adore you. I can't believe a whole hour has just flown by. A lot of great takeaways in this. I love that we focused on the exercise. I love that we focused on digestion, because I think those are the two key areas when it comes to maximizing, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. Of course, sleep is really key. Stress is really key. I highly suggest if you're listening, go back and rewatch those segments that we did during our sleep week, the importance of sleep, the importance of managing your stress, the importance of all of it. Okay. Final takeaway for today. So people are, we rolling through week 10, they have a couple weeks left. They really want to get the most out of what they're doing right to the very end. I mean, most people have to continue their journey, right? But yeah. Final words for people in terms of like, how do you, to make sure you're getting the most out of what you are doing?
I think, you know, for me, I always think consistency versus intensity has always in every aspect of my life given me the most impact. That. I think my favorite quote that you always say is the progress over perfection. And like, this isn't a video game, right? You don't just like make it to the next phase and keep going. Like, this is actually why this is a journey for you. And this is why I really, especially right where you're at right now, the number on the scale is such a small picture of what you're trying to change. And this is where I always tell patients, like, you have to continue focusing every day on the non-skill victories, because your weight is important, but the weight on the scale doesn't also talk to you about visceral fat. It doesn't talk to you about the energy that you feel. It doesn't talk to you about how much your sleep has improved and how happy you are and all of the ways in which you've transformed over the course of the program. And so I think that often maximizing at this point where you're at is you are doing everything great. And just because that scale is not moving doesn't mean that you're failing or that you're a failure. It means sometimes that your body is like, okay, girl, like, I get where you're going. Like, I'm just going to sit here for a little bit because there's like a lot of things that I'm trying to process. And then it kicks in again and you're just like, okay, I'm ready to run, which is actually why always, you know, you have those, you have a lot of Instagram posts that I love. That look at like what progress looks like, and progress is not linear. And maximizing your journey is also not linear. And if you feel like, you know, this is really, really working for me, but A, B, or C, like, we can try to focus maybe on, you know, I think that I could work a little bit more on my sleep, or I could work a little bit more on my stress, or like, I'm already doing the walking, but like, I'm gonna try the weighted vest, or I'm gonna do an incline or whatever it is. This is when you start changing things up. Not because what you're doing is not working, but just because you can, because you've gotten to this place and your body is like, girl, I'm ready. We're going to throw at me.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. What a great conversation for where we're at. Dr. Olenka Trejo, where can people find you?
I always say just email me, info@drolenka.com is the easiest. If I don't respond to it, my assistant will. It's always so nice to hear from all of you. So thank you so much for listening and watching.
Yeah. So I think this is the last time we're going to see you in this group, but I know you're going to be back with us next group. So I'm already excited about the conversations that we have. I also know you're coming into the maintenance group on Monday.
On Monday.
We're going to have a conversation over there. We're going to do a fun Ask You Anything. Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone who joined us live today and participated in the conversation. We see you chatting. We see you chatting in the comments. And thanks to everyone who is listening after the fact. Have an amazing rest of your day. Go forth and maximize. Bye, everyone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.